thank you for your mighty love that is so free that it is hard to even comprehend. That your love is there through all of our life, ups, the downs, the victories, the triumphs, the seeming defeats. Father, we are in awe of your love. And we thank you. We can never say thank you enough. In fact, thank you seems so shallow, it seems so hollow, but it's the words that we have. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. May you receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Bless you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, give high fives to about 3 or 4 more folks and let them know you're glad that they're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. All you watching, high five to those that are watching on the various screens. All right. Praise the Lord. It's great to have everyone here tonight, Sunday night. And of course, you know, tomorrow night at 5 o'clock you want to be here and, you know, get here in good time because I'm sure we'll have a pretty full house. We always do. Of course, we've taken chairs out and some balcony will probably be open, but what a great time. This whole place will be transformed. If you've never been here to see all the different candelabras, the lights, the different candles, and it's just a beautiful sight. And so you want to come, plus the service is fantastic, and we'll end by receiving communion together. And what a wonderful time that is. That's one of the things, you know. I was remembering, we were talking about, Man and I were talking about some of our traditions of the church we grew up in, some of the different things, you know, services they had around different holidays and that type of thing. And so this is one of those things, you know, us Word of Faith people, we're not supposed to have traditions. But, you know, not all traditions are bad. This is one of those really good traditions, this service. And so hopefully you'll be able to come out, and we look forward to that. Praise the Lord. Well, 2018, it's been busy, hasn't it? It went by fast. Trials and triumphs all around. And I think in many ways, probably even for me personally, maybe for you, it's been one of the most difficult, but yet one of the most rewarding years in my life. And so, in looking forward to 2019, we have to close out 2018. I want to talk to you about that. There's no way, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no way to go back and change anything that happened in 2018. It's over. All those trials are gone. All the victories, all the triumphs are done. The only thing left from 2018 are the lessons learned. Amen. So, I found this out. In order to let that go, I have to unattach my emotions from anything that happened in 2018 and let it go. You know, Paul dealt with this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, his life was full of triumphs, but also trials. And in the scriptures, he gives us his unique, if you will, spirit-led way to deal with those things. So I want us to go to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 7 and 8. I'm going to read it from, 5 different translations, make some comments, and then we might head another place after that. But how many of you have proven that it's hard to go forward looking backwards? Amen. You know, sometimes, if you're not careful, you get caught looking in the rearview mirror and forget and don't see someone stopped in front of you. And I think that's true in life. So true. It's a lesson. Paul said here, I'm going to read from the King James first of all, verse 7. But what things were gain for me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now it's interesting here as we go through this. Let's deal with that very last statement, that I may win Christ. Now that's an interesting statement for someone who's already born again. who is in Christ and Christ is in him. And so he can't be talking about that I may win my salvation or that I may win my healing or that I may win. He's talking about that I may win Christ. What's he talking about? Whatever's ahead from this point on. I've got to let go of the victories of the past. I've got to let go of the trials of the past. And I've counted them all. They all go in the garbage. The dung hill, you know, is that what he's talking about? It's all refuse, if you will. I'm going to let that go. I'm leaving that in the past that I may go forward. And whatever Christ has for us in 2019, that we may win that. Okay? To win Christ. The English Standard Version says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss. Now, I like this phrase here. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. None of us know now what we should know about Jesus, our Lord, next year at this time. But in order to get there, we've got to, again, not forget the lessons, but we've got to detach ourselves from the events of this last year and move forward. Now, not just the events of this last year, because I know this. There's some of you in here that you're still attached to events from 5 years ago. 10, 15, 20. We could auction this off, you know. Take the highest bid. But those things are in the past. You can never do anything to change those things. But if you hold on to them, you can't go forward and win Christ. Because that's you're dragging that weight with you. Whether it was a victory or a loss. Amen. Now, you know, sometimes, and I think we get our cue from past pastor, you know, Hagen, he loves sports. Have you found that out? If you've been around here two Sundays, you know pastor loves sports. Right? But, you know, there's some people, they're living in the last triumph they had on the athletic field. And that has become their defining moment in life. Amen. You know, I think it's sad sometimes when, you know, around here, of course, you know, this year at Rhema, we're graduating our 45th class from the college. Can you believe it? 45 graduating classes. Look what the Lord has done. But I hear this all the time from people, and these guys, because you know, we're here, but people come back and say, these were the best years of my life. That's sad. The best years of your life were while you were a student? No, 2019, that's going to be the best year of my life. 2018 was the best so far, even with all the trials that were there and all the trials. But 2019 is going to get better because God's a God of increase. He's a God. He keeps us going. Now, I thank God for all the triumphs of and thank God. God will use the things of your past to help you and help others have victory in the future. But you can't live in that. It can't define you. Listen, if you were a drug addict, you were. You ever heard people talk about it? They talk like they're still a drug, like they're still. And they haven't, you know, God delivered them 10 years ago. Amen. Whatever. But to go there, Paul said, I count it all but loss. To know, I love that phrase, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, what's going to happen here as we let those things on, then we're able to embrace Christ and knowing him, to know him. Jesus said in John 17, what is eternal life? To know him, the Father, and the one whom he sent, the Son. You want to have life this year? Then get to know Christ. The surpassing, I love that, surpassing worth. I don't know who does that commercial where it's priceless at then, you know, gets talks about this and this and then that you can't put a price on what it is to know Christ. He goes on here to say in the English Standard, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Here again, win Christ, gain Christ. Not, you're already a Christian. This is written to Christians. So it's not talking about being born again, trying to chase down your salvation, trying to chase down a trip to heaven. No, you already have it, but
but there are victories to gain. There is life to live. Right? But in order to do that, we've got to put the past away. Not just put it in the past. I mean, almost bury it. Don't dig it up. You know, sometimes the Bible says that God has cast our sins into the sea. Some people call it the sea of forgetfulness. I don't know if the Bible calls it that, but people call it that. But then they like to fish in that sea. Every once in a while, they'll throw a net in there and haul up all their old sins. You know, oh, there they are. Woo, she doesn't know. Let it go. All right, look at the Amplified, the classic version says, but whatever former things I had that might be gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Everything, he said, brought it into one. Every victory, every gain, I bring into one, and I'm gonna set it aside for Christ. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. You know, we got an advantage in life. Amen. We got an advantage in life. It always saddened me to hear people say, well, I had it really good before I became a Christian. And after I became a Christian, all hell broke loose. You don't know the advantage you got. You got to know Christ. It's an advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all but mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win, gain Christ, the anointed one. Glory to God. Listen to this from here's the Message Bible. The very credentials, sometimes I like to call this here in Philippians Paul's resume, you know. His pedigree tells about who he was and all that. But he said, I'm going to set this aside. But the very credentials these people are waving around as someone, something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash. Along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master. Firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung, he calls it. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ. So he says, win Christ, gain Christ. Here, he says, embracing Christ. Now, there's a lot about that there. But everything that I could take credit for, I count it all but lost. I count it lost. I'm putting it away that I may embrace Christ. What's he talking about? Listen, all those trophies you're carrying around keep you from reaching out and embracing anything else. Hey, did I mention to you that time that year I was playing fifth on our college golf team and I shot an even par round in a tournament? Everybody was amazed, including me. I don't know how I did it, but I did. I didn't cheat. Did I ever show you that trophy I got for that? You know what I'm saying? That trophy. Oh, did I tell you that time that, you know, I got straight A's? No, because I didn't. No, I didn't tell you that one. See, all these things, all these trophies that we carry around, all these credentials that we have, you're going to have to let them go if you're going to embrace Christ. Amen. Now see, let you know a little secret here. I started typing these things just for me about a week or so ago. This wasn't intended. I never intended to talk about this in public. God was talking to me. But I was instructed by him to share this tonight. Amen. New Living Translation says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Now, he didn't say you're worthless, did he? But it's those things. Everybody say things. Tell your neighbor, things. All those things. All the victories, all the defeats. There's nobody that's had all victories in life. Okay? All the victories, though. All the defeats. None of them, we have to let them go, he said. They were valuable. I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Not because you're worth, but what Christ has done. I like what someone said this. What Satan did in Adam, God surpassed by what he did in Jesus. What God has done. Embracing what God has done for you. That defines you. Who are you? I'm a child of God. You are of God, little Jesus. You should walk around and say, I'm of God. Glory to God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He has made me in him more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Glory to God. I mean, you start talking, that's embracing what God has done. Now, you notice when you talk, notice the emphasis as you get to talking that way. It gets off of you and you start emphasizing what Christ has done. Amen. And living in the reality of that. He says, yes, everything else is worthless with compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Now, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 with me. Back in Genesis chapter 12, God interrupted the life of a man by the name of Abram. And told him, Abram, he said, I want you to get up. I want you to take all that you have, you and your family. I want you to get away from all your family. Take you and your wife. And I want you to go into a land that I'll show you where it is. Now, here's why, Abram. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make you a blessing. And through you, all the people of the earth will be blessed. Well, how many of you know that came through Jesus, who is the seed of Abraham? Fulfillment. But God told him, said, look, pack up and go. And so here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, now he became Abraham. At the time God called him, he was Abram, but by now he's known he's Abraham. When he was called out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. See, they no longer said that they were from Chaldea. They no longer said that they were following God. For they that say such things, verse 14 says, declare plainly that they seek a country. Now this next verse is the key to being like Abraham, who's called the father of our faith. We're supposed to follow the faith of Abraham. Abraham was told to get up and go, take all that you have, and go and leave this land. And he never returned there, ever went back there. Even though he had born there, you know, he'd had some good times there. Grew up there. You know, he had he had fun playing with his friends there. He met his wife there. Even though they hadn't been able to have any children, you could tell from their relationship they loved one another. He had been blessed there, and God said, I'm going to make you a blessing. He had a lot to look, he had a lot there. His family, he had to leave his family. But God told him to go. Amen. God told him to go. And verse 15 gives us a key here. It says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they had called to mind and kept on their mind and kept in their thinking, oh man, remember back in Chaldea? Remember how it was there? Remember the home we had in Chaldea? See, they're living in tents. They're traveling. Remember that we had? Oh, wasn't it wonderful? Remember that? Remember the friends we had there? Remember our, you know, remember our bunco group that we played with? You know, whatever it was. You don't understand all the things of the past. I have no idea what bunco is. Is it a car? What is bunco? I know people do it. They bunco, whatever that is. All right. Now I can Uno you, but I don't know if I can bunco. All right, we can play Uno. But all of those things said, if they had called that to mind, if they kept that in their thinking, then they would have had the opportunity to turn and go back to it. If you keep in your thinking and in your mind things of the past, not the lessons learned, that's something totally different. We're not talking about the lessons learned. But like God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, Moses is dead. What's he say? Joshua, Moses isn't coming back. You can't look for him to help. I know he's led you this far 40 years. You've served him for 40 years, but he's not coming back. It's you now, Joshua. Yes. You're in this position now. It's you now. It's you now. All the 2018 is dead. It's you now. All those past, all the past is gone. What are you going to do now? You see, forgetting those things which are behind. All the gain, all the trials, all the triumphs, forgetting those things and pressing on. Going forward. See, if he'd brought it to mind, if he had brought those things to mind, there never would have been Isaac that we read about. I don't know, God would have brought it through some way, but it would never, Abraham, we wouldn't even know Abraham existed if he'd gone back. And I'm telling you, there are generations, if Jesus tarries, there's generations of people that are waiting on you to obey God and go forth and do what God's called you to do, but you'll never get there if you're going to stay in the past. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, just by a show of how many of you are not from here? You're not from, you've moved here. Look at the majority of the folks in here. It's amazing. That's what this place is. God has brought you here. Some of you are students now, but God has brought many of us here who came as students, and God called us to stay or to come back here. Why? To be part of this, that others could go. But you know, if you go back and you're thinking, I mean, I could go back and I'm thinking, you know, and following God, listen to me. Following God is the greatest thing you ever do in your life. It's never the easiest thing, it seems like. Although it seems easy when you do it by the grace of God. But there's tough decisions that have to be made. But if you hang on to the past, I found this. If you hang on to the past, well, remember, and you know, and the devil loves, he is the great, the devil is probably the great replay man that there ever was. He wants to replay to you all the things. You remember when you did this? You remember this? You remember when you did that? Amen. You remember when you said that? We need to unplug his VCR or his Blu-ray, whatever he plays in your mind. Unplug that. Don't let him play those things. Paul, who was persecuting Christians, to the point that some of them they put to death, others they put in prison. He told the Corinthians, I have wronged no man. What? See, the man who did that didn't exist anymore as far as he's born again. He's a new creature in Christ. We know you, Paul. We remember you. See, God had to tell Ananias. And he said, wait a minute, God. I said, I've heard about this guy. God said, I want you to go in there and I want you to lay your hands on him that he might receive his sight. And then all of a sudden, Ananias said, I'd rather you choose someone else. I've heard about this dude. And God told him, he said, no, go, for he's a chosen vessel unto me. Hallelujah. I don't know what you were. I don't know what took place yesterday for you. But I'm telling you, let it go. Let it go. You're a chosen vessel of God. And he's got something great for you. Amen. Father, we just thank you and we praise you tonight. We give you glory and honor, Father. We know the plans that you have towards us, Father. Plans of good. Plans to give us a future and a hope. Father, we give you all the praise and the glory. Help us, each one. Help us, each one, Father God, to take those things, the triumphs and the tragedies. Oh, the trials, the tears. All the things that have make up things of this past year and the past few years and for some many years. But Lord, in you, all things are new. All things are of God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. We're new creatures in Christ. Let us look forward to this year that we might know the surpassing knowledge of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. To know him intimately through fellowship. To know him that we might gain and embrace and win Christ. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can you just lift your hands and thank in your voice and thank the Lord tonight? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, our prayer teams come up here. Ladies on my right, men on my left. Ladies, come. If you need prayer tonight for anything, these folks will pray with you according to the Word of God. That's where answers come from. They'll pray with you. If you need prayer tonight, come up after the service for anything. They'll pray with you. You won't, as the pastor said so much often, you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name, amen. First-time guests, if our connections team would help those folks find them. Let's give our first-time guests a big hand clap tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. They're going to go to that. There they go. We'll let them get going. So, amen. So don't forget tomorrow night. We start at 5, all right? So be here. Be here ahead of that, and then we'll have a great service. So how long does it last? Oh, about an hour, a little bit over maybe sometimes, but it goes by so quickly, you know. Before you know it, we're lighting the candles and singing, and it's a wonderful time. There'll be some carols. That's why it's called carols, candlelight, and communion. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's all stand up together. Don't forget now, church offices are closed tomorrow and Christmas. All right. Everything good? All right. Well, if we don't get to see all of you personally, Merry Christmas, everybody, from us, our family, and the pastoral staff. Merry Christmas to all of you. God bless you. And we will see you back Wednesday night. We'll have Hour of Power right here. So be here. God bless you.